This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, we're number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Every day at 2 o'clock, we talk about the biggest stories that have been developing since last we discussed the world of sports here with you in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Okay, General at your service, Jeff Kavanaugh. Brian Broaddus now with us here in the G-Bag Nation. We got Broaddus.
We did.
And, of course, Lucius Alexander there in the pimp cup behind the glass at Master Control, keeping the Gators down. We'll be rocking and rolling with you over the next 5 hours. How are you doing over there, Brian?
I'm doing very well. Enjoyed a little Zion Williamson last night against LeBron.
Yes.
I was getting into that.
Yeah. He, not only against LeBron, but against Anthony Davis as well.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see him playing against players who are roughly his height and weight, and even taller than him, but he still is too relentless and powerful for them to contain.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Him taking it inside, either hand.
Yeah.
I mean, you're thinking, guy that big.
So
I'm always looking at athletic ability. That guy's got some rare athletic ability for a big man.
Oh, yeah. You know, to be able to carry 270 pounds like people 100 pounds lighter than you do, you know, but we're not used to seeing that.
Oh, just so light-footed in the in the paint there. God, I love to watch that.
Old man LeBron is my favorite version of LeBron, though.
Oh, he's playing well, though.
Because I feel like he knows when it's a game against Luka or a game against Zion, there's going to be like hot takers that are like, and here it comes, it's time to pass the torch. And he was like, 48-6.
Yeah, let me just drop 40 on you tonight.
Great job, young man. Good
Drew
game,
Holiday
Zion.
Had no chance last night.
One day, Zion.
Drew Holiday was a no factor last night.
A great night of sports on television. The Mavericks will be providing us with sports content tonight. 7 o'clock, they'll be in San Antonio. Spurs, a very winnable game. They do have Aldridge. They have DeRozan, but it's incredible. They've lost so many players now. Popovich, whatever kind of genius he has is ruled null and void, other than developing players and being an old wise man. You know, basketball is the sport where it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. If you don't have the talent, you ain't going anywhere. And right now they're about 8-9 games below 500. So
we always forget that while they have the talent, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Popovich could make this work with anybody, and then the good players leave, and you're like, oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fun for him to be able now to be in a career mode where he's in his 70s, but you're developing players? Is that something that you want to be that old and doing that? Or is that like, I just want to go look at the wine list. Leave me alone here.
He might really enjoy the relationship parts and the team building and the camaraderie and stuff. And he knows he's towards the end. So he might be at a point in his career where he appreciates it. I felt like Rick Carlisle was mostly frustrated with having to go through it. But, there were reasons that he did. And if those reasons weren't in place here with Dallas and Dirk and his daughter and everything, I think he would have moved on. But, some coaches just absolutely love coaching and being an important part. And then the wins and losses are nice, but it's not everything that's fulfilling him. So, I don't know. I thought Pop was flirting with the idea of retiring right there as that last championship window was closing. But he kept on going. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's close to the end, though, because after hitting the highest of the highs, wouldn't it become mundane? I don't know. I don't know what his perspective is on all that. We are getting a pretty good idea of what some football players' perspective is on the news that came out last night from the NFLPA. It was actually early this morning, 1 a.m. Eastern, that the NFLPA leaders, the team representatives, had voted by a tally of 17-14 to send this version of the CBA for full vote from about 2,000 members of the NFL Players Association. And now we're expecting that vote to maybe happen in the next week or two, but definitely right up until the deadline of when free agency starts. And there appears to be good momentum. Like the NFL ownership agreed to lift the $250,000 cap on players for a 17th game. And there appear to be, you know, the NFL isn't really fighting to take concessions from the players. We talked about it yesterday. They want to get this deal done and get it negotiated before the political season could wreak havoc on their ratings, right? Jeff had that angle. Yes. Now I notice a lot more media outlets are speculating on what happens when Bernie Sanders gets the Democratic nomination. And that's going to be maybe the most heated and televised election that we've seen in a long, long time. Even if people don't like politics, they might just tune in for the theater and the drama.
It'll be a good fight. It'll be like a pay-per-view.
Yeah. So how much is that going to take away TV ratings? I don't know right now, but I don't think the NFL wants to negotiate after that happens. They want to negotiate before that happens. So they're kind of looking at this like, guys, we could go to the mat with the players and fight to take stuff from them, but they feel like we'll lose more money in TV if we drag this thing out. So let's try to get this thing done because in the big picture, we'll make more money if we're willing to give them a good deal now. But as I say all that, some players are definitely not big fans of this deal. Russell Wilson tweeting earlier, I vote no. He says the NBA and the MLB are doing it right. Players come first. All NFL players deserve the same. We should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. Russell Wilson voted no. Jeff, I saw you retweeted a video of Maurkice Pouncey, the Steelers center, right? And he went off.
he didn't like the deal.
I mean, he was shirt off, camera in his face, yelling about how much he does not like this proposal. So, I mean, they want to try their best. I don't know. Is this all star players? Because I think star players are approaching it from a different perspective. They have the luxury of security. So they can say, guys, let's try to get it all and take what's fair.
Yeah.
And I hope the working class is in position to agree with that because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
This stuff with how the NFL, I believe, has mistreated a little bit, overmanaged, if you will. It'd be awesome to see that stuff eliminated from the game and for the players to have more of a voice in how things are governed.
Yeah, this is going to come down to the player reps. You know, because somebody is going to have to go back and tell the rank and file how this is going to work. And is your player rep like a Russell Wilson? Or is he like Pouncey? You know, no, this is not good. Because there's going to be a lot of players in that locker room that will not spend the time to understand. They just want their check every.
Can your agent give you like a clip? I think the union is working on a really short fact sheet.
Right.
So they can go, boom, yeah. Here's everything that's important. I don't know.
I've seen agents come out and say, this is not a bad deal.
Okay.
This is not a bad deal. So how many are that? I do really believe it's going to be player walking into another player's room and saying, hey, this is why this could work for you, and this is why it cannot work. These team reps are going to be huge as far as to whip the votes for them to get this done or to turn it away.
So what do the stars want, Jeff? Guaranteed contract, sounds like, from Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and like Schefter was a mouthpiece for the owners this morning. And
you predicted that.
Yeah.
You did.
He sent out a tweet that came directly from the owners, which was like, you know, if the NFL players accept this deal, they will get the biggest percentage of revenue in all of sports. And I think it was Teron Armstead retweeted it. He was like, well, the NBA and the NHL are 50-50.
Yeah.
So that's not accurate. But Schefter just runs with what the owners tell him to say.
Hmm.
So I think if you're the players and you are the already well-compensated players, you're now looking at it and going, well, wait, these other leagues have guaranteed contracts, and ours is more dangerous.
Yeah.
We should have guaranteed contracts. We should have a 50-50 split. I think they're looking at things that a lot of the younger players, the owners are really good at this. They're good at negotiating. They're good at getting what they want into the media, which they've done. And the good negotiating part is they know that at some point the rank and file players vote on this. So what are the two of the things that are in there? $100,000 raise to the minimum for rookies.
Count me
every
in.
Every young player in the world just went, holy cow, I get a $100,000 raise.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
I might not be here for more than one more year.
Uh-huh.
I just got $100,000 more.
Right.
I vote yes. I don't need to see anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that they're good negotiators, and I think that this deal will probably get approved. I think there's enough in there for the majority of players that they're going to be like, yep.
Yeah, and I feel like you know, the status quo is going to be a really popular idea when players are thinking of losing money. The stars are thinking about, let's go for it. We have power. We are strong. Let's do this. And I would love to see them be able to pull the people that they're leading to go on that sort of a cause for the principle of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But when you come down to evaluating it, the owners are like, hey, the deal we've had is pretty good. If you don't get in trouble and if you can stop smoking pot for a few weeks a year,
yeah,
you have no problems with Roger Goodell. That applies to 99% of the players here. So do our team leaders want to go after the now the guaranteed contract thing is interesting because I don't think football is structured. I don't think the game is safe enough that the teams could really guarantee any more than maybe two or three seasons. Because if you get hurt or your body breaks down and you can't perform anymore, now that's a major obstacle for us being able to put on a compelling product.
What about the sheer number of the roster? How do you guarantee 60 players' contracts? How does that happen?
Yeah, and I guess everybody who makes the team,
it's easier
fully
when you talk about baseball or basketball, yeah, hockey, smaller numbers. If you're guaranteeing contracts, I get it. But football, if you're guaranteeing 50, 60 contracts, how does that, could that financially ruin you?
There could be some compromise. You know, I think the owners do get over right now, but I think the players should understand, like, if you're going to get a full guarantee, the contract length is going to shrink from 6 years to 2 or 3 years.
Right, right. But if they're paying off guys that are no longer part, does that bankrupt the game? That's the question
yes,
I have.
Yes. Yeah. If you can't play anymore,
right,
now what do we do? Do we get to write that off?
Right.
Does that still count against the cap?
Exactly.
Because a collection of those guys could sink a franchise.
Absolutely.
And now I can't sell any tickets. I can't put players on the field that are good.
Right.
If my star players get hurt, it could be a major obstacle for putting on a compelling product. Well, so from what I understand, looking at the timing of this thing, the union wants a long time, maybe 10 to 12, 14 days to put their vote together because they have a lot of players to get in contact with. So I think this is going to go right up until the time that decisions on free agency and franchise tag will happen. It came out of the combine today from multiple sources. The Cowboys aren't even negotiating deals. There will be no negotiation on contracts until this thing is decided. So
they're good at this.
Yeah.
They're saying, hey, players, you might want to vote real quick because we're not going to negotiate.
Hey, those star players you think you want, no? Oh, okay. Well, how many of you guys are eligible for a franchise tag? Because right now each team could tag two of you.
Yeah, and we're ready to.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are ready to. They're going to use two tags. So if you want to get rid of those, you might want to hurry up with your little vote.
They are very sophisticated, aren't they?
They're good at this.
I really think it's intentional on the owner's side that veterans get more than the rookie contract guys because then you get a labor force with less experience. The less experience, the less money in the bank, the less security, right? If veterans made the same money as rookies, teams would keep veterans. Those guys, many more of them, have been making between $600,000 and $900,000 for 4 or 5 years. They've been able to nest egg enough of it, buy a house. Now they're like, oh, we can stand on principality. Sure, I could. Yeah, actually, bro, I can sit out a year. That's fine. A lot of the guys now, I was listening to Nate Burleson this morning on the NFL Network, because it's year two or three, they're check to checking at $600,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's the reality. You know, once the season is over and those checks stop, they're kind of like, yep, don't have a lot of money. Can't wait till week one. So, you know, when you have super young people who haven't learned how to manage that kind of income, they're just fresh into the league out of college, very little experience. Those kind of guys see a deal like this and they're running to vote yes. Absolutely. Okay. What else do we have going on? G-Bag Nation. That's exciting, though. I'll tell you what. That's my number one takeaway. This is exciting. Usually we would have to wait the entire next season and then maybe another 6 months before, right up before training camp. It's like, okay, we finally come to an agreement, right? That's what happened last time. I was reading about in 2011, that deal getting done in the hospital while Abby was being born in July, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have to, as fans, we don't have to suffer.
I will tell you what I want to happen here, because Tom Pelissero is saying that right now there is no CBA, so you have two tags. If it gets ratified by the players, the full terms will take effect immediately, which means that you will have to vacate one of your tags because you won't have it anymore. So I hope that they have to tag Dak and Amari And then when that vote happens, just because I want to live through the sports radio of the next half hour.
Yeah.
Where the Cowboys are like, crap, one of you signed a contract right now. One of you is about to be a free agent. This is not good.
Yeah.
I want to live that on the radio.
I think they have it timed where this thing is going to get agreed to by the players and give the teams about 48 hours before that happens. I think that's the basic chronology. The NFLPA is saying we need 2 weeks. It's March 12th or March 15th when the tag thing happens. So they'll have a 48, 72-hour window, something like that.
Yeah, and also the Players Association is going to, at the same meeting, talk about electing new officials. So they have a lot of things going on. They have a president's up and the board of directors as well.
Wow.
Of course. So that's they've got a lot of – yeah, that's all of a sudden here you are trying to push for a deal and to sign a deal, but you've got
union business
that's going on at the same time. So it could be difficult for both parties.
Mavericks are back in action tonight. They'll be in San Antonio. Stars keep taking care of biz. 4-1, they beat Carolina. You have an eye on that as well last
Absolutely.
Night, Brian.
It was a great job. They went in there, Carolina. Carolina was kind of handicapped. They didn't have goaltending. They've had issues with health. They had to go with one of their backup goalies. Had to go down the minors, and the Stars took complete advantage. And once again, gave up 40 shots. It's been a kind of a troubling thing, and I've talked to people about it a little bit, but as long as they keep having good rushes going back the other way, the goaltending has been outstanding. They've been making a lot of saves, and they've been getting those quality shots on the other end and scoring goals, taking advantage of it. But it's a dangerous way to live, though. Give up 40 shots a night, you get 18 shots, but still find a way to win games, though. That's pretty impressive. It tells you a lot about your team
Having two great goalies is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Hudobin,
yeah, exactly. Sure did. Got to go to Boston here for the next game.
Okay, nobody wants to talk about a Romo comeback, so I won't do that with you. But what about the awesome AFC South quarterback who stepped away last year? His coach was asked, how possible is it? It's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. I missed the story yesterday. David Irving is applying for a reinstatement. I guess this will be a comeback segment. We'll talk some David Irving. We'll talk about that AFC South quarterback and what his coach says about the possibility he could make a return. I mean, he's still plenty young. Segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, I think if you have a new coaching staff, your need at defensive tackles as big as ever. You should be open-minded about it, you know. If the guy, can rush the passer from the inside like nobody you're going to get, maybe there are things about the David Irving story that was so offensive to the Jones family, it's a total non-starter, and for those things, I could be unaware of them, Mr. Broaddus.
I'll tell you what.
I like the player when he's on.
I'll tell you what, I like what you're saying, and I did reach out to some guys this morning. So, yeah, I thought I'd give you a little surprise there. You know, I feel like I have to be responsible on this show, so I'll do a little work for you.
Okay.
Reached out, and what I was told is that they're looking at the situation right now. He does have to clear. He does have to get reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
But they were willing to take an opportunity to explore that.
I didn't get a
flat no. I didn't get a ship sailed. Didn't get any of that stuff.
Cool.
And I'm sure, Mike Fisher's on today, I think, today. Isn't he on today?
Yes, sir, 320.
320. Mike will probably get into that a little bit. But, yeah, we're doing a little work on that. It seems like that's where people are going right now. That's the organization. It wasn't we've moved on. But they would see if he gets reinstated and examine that when it happens.
I mean, I know he was a massive disappointment, but a lot of times coaches can get fed up, right? More than a front office.
You're exactly right. We talked about coaches yesterday. Do coaches make a difference with these players? And you're absolutely right. The coaching staff previously had problems with David Irving. The head coach specifically had problems with David Irving. You know, there were a lot of back and forth texting messages and stuff. Mm. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Oh, man.
And
David, please come to practice.
Well, yeah. But that's, you know, new staff, new opportunity.
Yeah.
The front office understands the type of player, and I thought you thumbnailed him very well.
Cool. Yeah, and I do think this team needs to be in the business of throwing Hail Marys to fix the defense. I don't think you can do normal team building and expect to get there. You can hope. But you got to do something pretty crazy to bring in talent. I don't know if that's trading or whatever it's going to take, but I don't know if they have enough players to get it done with this kind of an offense at this point, 27 points per game.
Yeah, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself when you have a guy that talented. You know, what the reasons why. You have to evaluate what are the reasons why.
Yeah.
It's like when they still have the love for Randy Gregory. You know, when you have talented players, you don't give up on talented players, even though they might be knuckleheads, but you got to learn the problems. You got to learn, is it mentally things? What's going on here? Figure it out. Make it work.
And what role would just, the NFL's not going to mess with you if you smoke pot now. Like, it's hard, I think, to manage a relationship with an employee when your boss's boss is like, you're fined, you know, 4-game suspension. Right. And you're like, dude, I'm trying to coax this guy into a place where he can be comfortable in the workplace.
Yeah.
And now you set me back 6 months.
Yeah.
And in the case of Randy Gregory, you took more money from him than we could pay him, you know? So I don't know. Would it be crazy to think, I wonder, do you think the agents or the Cowboys could have said, guys, it's costing you more money than you're earning. It's one suspension after another. If you can't stop smoking weed, just take 2019 off, and we'll holler at you in 2020. I wouldn't mind that idea at all.
I think there's things that are going on with these guys that it's more than just smoking weed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's other off the field things that are going on, and it's, you know, it's just you're like getting burdened with, like, you know, family issues, hanger-ons, you know, smoking weed's just a small part of the bigger issues with these guys. And I see what you're saying about just go away, try and get them squared away, and then come back and we'll revisit this.
Or you know what? Come back in a year when the league's not going to be as tough on it. So if you need weed to cope with whatever is going on in your life, it's going to be available to you in 2020, and you won't have to worry about getting fined and missing games and everybody talking about you like you're a loser. You know, we'll free it up, and now, bam, we'll find out if you can show up for work and play in games and be totally cool as long as you can, you know, toke it up when you get home to chill out. That's fine with us.
Yeah, I think there's a side of like a Randy Gregory that feels like he could probably, I could make it for a couple weeks. I could do it. But what happens further down? And the rules are so hard on a guy like that to get clean. And then all of a sudden things happen off the field to him that kind of takes him back into that realm.
So we shall see. I think both those are pretty exciting. And the news was David Irving is looking for reinstatement. And that's something right there that could fix your defensive line problem pretty quick if you would get Irving and Gregory and Crawford and draft a guy. Now you have five dudes and you're like, hey, we might be able to make something out of this.
Kind of what they need to
dress it up. Yeah, you dressed it up a little bit there, didn't you?
They kind of need that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, shoot. I'll do this Frank Reich, Andrew Luck story a little bit later on, maybe in the big board report. So many stories coming in. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. And that is your G-Bag of the Day. And as we do every day, we go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander is standing by. Good afternoon, sir.
What's up?
Looks like they're making decent progress on the tower over here.
I see it. What's all these flags and things that they have around there? Is that like people camping out just watching? What is that?
Yeah, I think it's like props for pictures.
It looks like a NASCAR.
You know how
race.
Like at prom you'll come around the corner and have a little place for you set up? Where you
are they charging like the club?
Probably.
I think we'd have jousting out there. It might be Scarborough Fair, you know, that thing where they have jousting on horseback. Yeah. You know,
Tinta and tournament.
Knights out there fighting each other while the thing falls down. Yeah.
Scarborough Fair. I did the rope ladder. You know, the one that sits a little bit of an incline. Knocked it out.
Did you?
Only one on the field trip that knocked it out.
Sweet.
Probably won like a stupid plastic sword or something.
I think we should get down there after work with, maybe tomorrow before work with some cones.
We do a 5-hour show.
And like a couple of, you know, pennies to make us look like we're traffic guys.
Yeah.
And then start taking like $10 for parking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with that move.
Okay.
I'm with that move, bro.
Is it first
on a Thursday too, son?
Yeah.
General should own a team in the NFL the way he's thinking right now.
let's line them up here, guys. Come on over. We got two of you right here. Parallel park. No more than 30 minutes. Here's a ticket for your dash. I can pull this off. Pulling some serious cash right there. Okay, it's going to be a good Christmas. Who's the champ, Lucius?
Shaq Daddy.
That's right.
Yeah, Shaq Daddy.
Two times.
The time that he met Kobe. Well, no, not met Kobe. Gained respect for Kobe. I'll talk to him.
And Ben.
The day Kobe gained my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an ME in that mother.
Oh,
I talk to him.
What a personality Shaq is. Oh, incredible. Unreal. I'm so glad post-career he's been so accessible, right? Because I think he's a really important part of the
he's
NBA.
He's on every commercial on television.
Yeah. He's the man, dude.
Yeah. He's the man.
Okay, there he is, our two-time champ, Shaquille O'Neal, reflecting on when Kobe earned his respect. Who's challenging a Diesel today, Lucius?
We got Marquise Pouncey.
Oh, yeah.
He's been going around. Yeah. He's for the people. He's for the football players.
Man, this is so crazy, man. I don't know. Our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that's all that. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all heard for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Nice. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the f*** up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a f***-ass deal just so these sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't getting done.
Nice. You know, for some players, it's much, much bigger than the money split. It's how the league's controlling them, and you know, and you know, the moves of the league. They want more power. They want more control. I love what Marquise Pouncey said. If I'm him, I'm calling around. I'm getting out onto SpoTrack where they have everybody's salaries listed. And
yeah.
I'm getting the phone numbers of all the guys who are making a ton of money. I'm like, dude, just extend loans or pay their rent. You know, it's going to be $2,500 bucks or $3,000 bucks for some rent at a nice place.
Here's the
problem. And Marquise, like, we got way more money than we used to. That's nothing.
Here's the problem.
Okay. That's got to feel good, bro. Here's what?
I know.
I got you, dog. Call me. Yeah. I got way more money than you.
So now you got 35 guys on their rookie deal. And they're like, all right, man, I was so glad to hear what you said. So I am going to stay with you. And, like, it sounds like you're going to give me my $600,000 this year, so that's awesome.
Well, I'm not going to give you that, but I got you a place to live and there's some beans and weenies here you can eat.
Yeah. Oh, because I might not make the team a year from now. I was kind of hoping for this year.
I got nothing to do with that.
I just need 51%. There's room for plenty of selfish people like you, Jeff. We'll be fine.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to live.
Hey, Pounce. It's Ralph Webb here. Ralph, who? Ralph Webb. I'm your teammate.
Oh, you're the practice squad. Don't call me.
I'm one of the 53. I need some money.
Oh, let me call you right back, Ralph.
Who? Who are they?
Caught me when I was in the bathroom.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know.
I wonder if this thing's going to get interesting because the union leadership did vote 17-14.
And I mean, somebody abstained. I wonder who abstained.
Byron. He's like, listen, I'm a free agent. I'm not on this team. I'm not voting.
I was an intern in the Congress. I'm a lot smarter than these guys.
Man, I want that kind of. And what's Marquise looking at? He is a solid eight-figure kind of offensive lineman, isn't he? He's one of the better guys.
I love how the Pouncey twins both are comfortable saying, the Pouncey twins say this.
Yeah.
He drug his brother. Yeah. Wait a minute, man.
Talking third person. I love that.
Yeah. Finish each other's
he gets
sentences.
A text from his brother. I heard you gave away like millions of mine on Twitter today. Yeah.
Okay, and who else is challenging Lucius?
R.I.P. Mad Mike. He passed away over the weekend.
Okay.
He's a flat earther conspiracy dude.
Oh, yeah.
I used to listen to him all the time on Shade 45. He used to jump on this guy named Rude Jude show. We played Rude Jude before because he went back and forth with Mayweather.
Oh, yeah.
Calling his fights boring.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, yeah. Here's a little clip of Mad Mike on that show. And Rude Jude was trying to tell him, man, don't do this because I think you're going to die.
Really?
Yeah.
This was the guy that tied himself to the rocket?
This is the guy. Don't laugh.
Oh, okay. No.
Don't laugh. I like Mad Mike. I like Mad Mike.
But that idea?
It was awful.
Not the
it
best. Was awful.
Did you see him like
he just
the
wanted
dust
to go viral.
In the distance?
He just wanted to get up higher so he could prove it was flat, right?
Well, he wanted to get up high to make a spectacle so people can get the money. Like, people can give him money to go higher. In a sense, like, hey, look, I'm trying this. I'll go viral. Then you guys give me more money. Then I'll finally up there.
He wanted to get to 60,000 feet, right? And that's where the atmosphere kind of
meets
space.
Yeah, he's going to take a picture or something? When did he try to take a
picture?
Yeah,
that was his
picture?
Ultimate goal, to get up there so he could have a look at the flatness of the earth.
Let's listen to him. Here you go.
Asking for permission. Why don't you just shoot yourself up in the air?
Because I don't want to wind up in federal handcuffs, which is what can happen to you.
Mm-hmm. You don't think you're going to just... I think you're just going to die. Like, how are you not going to die? You shoot yourself up in a... rocket.
Okay, here's the deal, guy. How many rockets have you built in your life? How much you know about rockets?
I don't know about rockets.
Okay, there you go. So you're making a comment to me about rockets you don't know nothing about. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and based on my ignorance, I would guess that you're not going to make it.
I am the only man in the world to ever design, build, and launch himself their own rocket in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. See, I understand how air moves around things. I was an aerodynamics in NASCAR. I've had cars in the front row at Daytona, Charlotte, and several of these races.
Mike, why do you think the Earth is flat? What makes you think it's flat?
It's common sense. Right now, if it was a round planet, that means in Australia and New Zealand, they're standing upside down, and whatever's holding the waters in is upside down also. That is not possible.
Ain't that just gravity? Like, gravity's pushing us all towards the center? All right, so there's no gravity, then what is there?
Electromagnetism is depending on the weight of the object that's on this flat Earth. In other words, this is why a butterfly can take off, and the same gravity is holding a butterfly. It's not same gravity as holding down a 747 jet. Okay,
but you said there's no gravity.
Answer. There's no gravity. No, it's just a scientific mumbo jumbo thing that they had to come out with to explain all this stuff away.
Mad Mike died a madman. Rest in peace, bro. Mm.
Yeah, I could see why. You know, I don't know about his decision making processes.
Oh, he had his dead cat in there with him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just urns, like in ashes and urn, but he brought it with him, so they died together again.
But he was successful at some stuff, right? Was he college educated at all with the aerodynamics and everything?
Like, he's shot the rocket up before several times. This time it just wasn't it, man.
You see
the dust in the distance? That's him.
Okay, we're going to bring this back at 5:40.
Yeah, that's awful, bro.
He lost his chute on the way up.
Yeah, that's what it happened.
Oh, no.
Yep. The parachute flew off right when the rocket launched.
So he got up there. And
then the camera finds him up there and follows him the whole way.
Oh, man, that's sorry.
He bounced, too, a little bit when he hit the ground.
R.I.P., bro. Mad Mike.
Because there's no gravity.
There's no gravity.
Is it Mad Mike? Is it Morkees Pouncey? Or is it Shaq when he gained respect for Kobe Bryant, our two-time champion? I think I'm going to vote for Maurkice Pouncey. Lucius.
I'm riding with Mike just because I'm a fan.
It's tied at one, Brian.
I'm going to go with Shaq.
It's tied at one, Jeff. Three-way.
I'm voting for Mad Mike.
My score, a 2-1-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. He's done it. Mad Mike did not win. What do you call that? Darwinism? He didn't win the game of Darwinism.
He didn't, and I can't wait to share all the details and observations from the video of this later on the show.
5:40, Jeff's unnamed segment, if you've been wondering where that is. Eric Nadel's in the building. I believe he's going to join us, and we'll talk some Rangers. Mike McCarthy spoke. We have audio on that. That we'll have for you a little bit later on in the broadcast here. But thank you very much, Lucius. Eric Nadel is going to join us at 3 o'clock right here on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Have some Mike McCarthy cuts here for you. He spoke at length today at the Combine as all the coaches and GMs are coming through in different various media responsibilities. It's been really interesting to hear what they've had to say about team building and all that. So let's get into some of this audio here. We'll start with cut number one. Mike's been on the job for what, 5 weeks now, 6 weeks? What's it like to be a part of the Dallas Cowboys, Coach McCarthy?
The organization, the Cowboys organization, it's a unique place. I've enjoyed every day there. The energy is awesome. I think, you know, you feel that from the first time you walk through the doors. So it's, you know, the passion, and it really starts with the Jones family. Just the way they approach everything. So I've had my head down, and I think like all coaches, when you're in that first year, you're just trying to get to the next meeting, get things organized, and you know, because there's a lot of things that are different for all of us. I got a lot of coaches on my staff that I have not worked with before, so just, you know, putting together protocol, policy, you know, the approach and everything we do. So whether it's from game management to football technology, going to Oxnard for training camp. So we just have been grinding through all those things and just trying to make sure we're ready. We will be ready when the players get back officially April 6th.
I love that he brought up football technology. I mean, that's been part of the history of the NFL, as the Cowboys being innovators. And I don't know if Jason Garrett embraced that as much as we wanted him at times. He talked about, though, the different energy and the passion and it being a unique place, Brian. I mean, he's a head coach. He's saying the right stuff. Do you agree with that? You've been at multiple NFL stops. In which ways are the Cowboys unique to you?
Well, the Cowboys are unique because I'm from here. So here's the hometown kid that gets to work for his hometown team. You know, and that was one of the greatest things in the world for me. He's absolutely right about the energy. I've asked some people over there about working with him so far through these 5 and 6 weeks that he's been there, And everybody's been very positive about him, you know, as far as him getting stuff done, him, you know, allowing certain things that need to be done. It's been a big change from the 9 or so years where Jason Garrett was pretty much like, here's the book, it's stamped, move forward. Oh, the things you're talking about, whether it's video, technology, any of that stuff, he's come out and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it this way. It hadn't been my way or the highway. Good. But everything has been very, very positive about him from the people who I've talked to that have worked with him so far.
I mean, you want the guy to have a strong idea, know what his principles are,
right,
but also be open-minded to learning. And it seems like Mike McCarthy has picked up on that second part maybe recently since getting turned loose at Green Bay.
Well, it's funny. I've worked, too, with the Packers, so I understand that organization, too, how that works. You don't have the energy of the ownership and stuff like that involved. Now, what he'll have to do is he has to do a lot more things business-related, and I know people out there are probably losing their minds because, well, what's he having to do business stuff?
But golf.
But there's people that you have to meet. There's people that the Joneses will introduce you to. In Green Bay, it's really just about football, and I know people will say, well, okay, that's great. You're Green Bay. It's, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. But here he does have some different responsibilities. You do have to be able to say, okay, I'm going to prepare the football team, but there's some other things over here that the Joneses ask you to do to try and get, kind of get the business side of things going along. And I think that's something he'll enjoy because he hasn't seen that from all these years of working with the Packers.
Did Jerry Jones make Jason Garrett play catch with sponsors on the football field, or was that usually friends and family?
That's usually friends and family.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to be a good hands family guy to be out there in that part of that part of that game.
I always enjoyed watching him interact in that environment. I mean, he just seemed like the classic All-American dad, you know, yucking it up, or family man or whatever it is. I know he's not a dad himself, but the family stuff was very important to him. Okay, cut number two here from Mike McCarthy. Thoughts on what Dak's going through contract-wise? Here's the Cowboys head coach.
Dak Prescott? No, definitely. I mean, it's exactly where we want to be with Dak. I think what he's done to this point, you know, speaks to itself. I mean, and really, Dak is in a business situation right now. I've gone through this as a head coach with a number of my players in the past, and I think, like, you know, like anything, it's just time to be patient and let the business people work out the business matter, and that's really where we are as an organization.
Yeah, I think that's the best advice. Pretend like it's not even there if you can as a player.
Yeah.
But Dak did talk about how this season, while he said all the right things, it did become stressful for him. I don't know if anybody could avoid that.
Inside, Mike's dying right now. Yeah, you know, he could stand up there and say all the brave things, but inside he's dying. He's like, God, we got to get this thing done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do not need this hanging over my head. Try and get this guy signed up. I don't want to have any distractions as we're moving forward here. And so he is dying inside.
It's probably the toughest part about being a coach. People are going to ask you about it as if it's you that's negotiating with him. It's like, no, it's like, that's my quarterback. He's my guy.
Yeah.
I like him. And it's like, well, why didn't he sign? Well, the other side is the guy who hired me. So that's my guy. Look, I don't know.
Right.
I can't wait to play football, and I hope we have Dak.
And to hear Jerry and Steven talk about it, the cap guys are doing a lot of the legwork. So it's like you could go ask Jerry and Steven and then maybe get to the cap guys who are the negotiator guys because it's not like they're burning up the phone lines between the agents or the primary guys involved.
Yeah, Adam Pacifica, Todd Williams, and those guys.
Go.
I guarantee you, every day that Mike sees them in the lunchroom, any news?
Guys,
any news over there? Nope, no news. Any news? No news. So, this is a very stressful time for a lot of people.
I mean, that shows you how important it is to get these players in a comfortable spot where they're secure and they can go out and just focus on the game.
Yeah.
Everybody will try to tell you it's the business and I don't worry about what I can't control, but he knows how important it is.
He's seen how
these things can go.
He knows what not having a quarterback's like. When Aaron Rodgers was going down and he wasn't winning games, that's a terrible feeling to have.
When looking at your draft, Mike, how important will it be that you bring in players comfortable with your system?
Yes, it's important to be very aware of the system that the player that you bring into your program, where he's come from. You know, I've coached receivers that you know, during their college career, they just, you know, looked over to the sideline and they ran 1 of 5 routes. So, you know, that's all part of a normal adjustment into the league. And I think your point is well taken. But those are things you can learn from as a coach and how you can use some of those thoughts and ideas, signals as part of your 2-minute no-huddle offense.
I think that's a good answer, and I heard Mike Mayock talking about the same thing yesterday where they were asking him, they're like, hey, receivers, what's the biggest change, what's the biggest challenge coming into the league? And he said the same thing about it. He's like, you know how many of these college guys line up and then stare at the sideline, and an individual coach gives them a sign that tells you what route to run.
Mm.
He's like, it's going to be a lot different when you get out here, and now we're in a 3-by-1 set, and you're playing a guy who's playing press coverage against you, which they didn't in college, who's bigger, stronger, faster than you. He's the best player you've ever played against. He's in press coverage. You haven't played press coverage. Now you start your route, and while you're running the route, you have to recognize in this coverage, I just went from being the third read on the backside to the primary read on the front side. He's like, it's a lot different for these guys who are, before the snap, just looking at the sideline to figure all this out.
I like what he said about the fact that him having to adjust. Don't be the guy that's like, this is my system and we're going to do it this way. Be the guy that's able to help the players. If the player is comfortable running routes where he looks over the sidelines and that makes him the best player he could be, it's your job to adjust and try and put him in that situation.
I think those are awesome takeaways, right? You can harvest gold with what Jeff is talking about or avoid massive mistakes by being able to recognize, man, that guy just needs to be in a different system, or that guy won't work. He's not going to be able to do this. But at the same time, Brian, I like what you're saying. Just find me good players. And as long as their system wasn't podunk, you know, BS,
right,
then I'm sure we're going to be able to translate those traits into winning in our system.
Jeff's favorite wide receiver played in a system where they looked in the sidelines. Am I right about that?
Which one? Gallup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm talking about Oklahoma.
Oh, CD, yeah.
CD Lamb.
Yeah.
He lined up and he looked over to the sidelines. If you're telling me I can't take CeeDee Lamb because he can't fit in my system because he's got I'm going to adjust.
But that's an interview thing, right?
Yes.
If you interview CeeDee Lamb, you're going to be like, "Hey, here's the look. What are we doing?" Like you're going to figure out their football intelligence as quickly as you can to feel better about them.
Yeah, and they'll figure it out after a year, right? Michael Gallup talked about that going into year two. He was like, man, I was having to think a lot out there. Like, crap, I got to go through all these different numbers and thoughts. And, you know, back at Colorado, it was just the same thing. Look at board and run route. Why do you think Dak can take a team to a championship? Jump to cut 5 here, Lucius, and then we got a bail here. So this will be quick, but I wanted to get this one in. Why do you think Dak can take you all the way? Here we go.
Well, I think, you know, number one, you just look what he's done in his time in the league. I mean, I think he's been impressive. I know I've been impressed with him since the first time I saw him play live, you know, up in Green Bay when they came to Lambeau there. So, you know, first impressions I think are very important when you see quarterbacks on the field, because it you know, in-person evaluations, particularly at that position, I've always carried more weight as far as how I felt about a player. So I think he's gone off to a great start. He's built a really good foundation. I'm told he's a tremendous leader. So in my philosophy, as we get with, you know, the personnel department, and as we go through that, I mean, the defenses get you to the championship. The quarterbacks win championships, and I definitely feel Dak is that quarterback.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you kind of need the defense to run the gauntlet through January of all those teams. But to win any big game, you want to have a quarterback who's capable of executing in that situation. And I do believe, you know, Dak is or will grow into that player if the Cowboys team can get there. I'll tell you a theme of a lot of the stuff McCarthy said, though, today was talking about the entire needs of the big picture of this organization and this roster, you know. I think he's really sending a message to set expectations that we need a lot of help across the board here. 25 free agents on an 8-8 team. A lot of guys are, you know, potentially going out onto the market. And well said there by Mike McCarthy. We'll do more of that coming up here in a couple of hours. Let's get in an NFL draft big board report, and we'll give you the latest news out of the combine. Then Eric Nadell is going to join us here on your home of the Cowboys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.